The scene opens, my brothers and sisters, at the sixth hour in Jewish timing, or 12 noon, under the scorching heat of the Palestinian sun. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had before that experienced the pain of betrayal by one of his own students, Judas Iscariot. He is now dealing with the agony of the jeering and mocking, the laughter and the scorn of those for whom he came to sacrifice his life and for whom he will intercede, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He had to deal with the disappointment and the agony of Pilate's cowardly political decision to allow an innocent man to be murdered while allowing or letting the guilty go free. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had dealt with the floggings, the beating that lacerated his back and caused his flesh to be open wounds at the mercy of flies. He had borne on his forehead, my brothers and sisters, the thorn of crowns that were pushed upon his brow and blood came trickling down. He had carried that old rugged cross, El Landry, on his sword and blistered back to that hill called Golgotha. And hanging on that cross at this moment, John records that our Lord says, "I thirst." These, my brothers and sisters, are strange words. "I thirst." Strange words, Elder Prochet, when you consider the one who is speaking it. "I thirst." How can the one who spoke the rivers, the oceans, and the seas into existence say, "I thirst"? Was not this the man who said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and verse 14, "The water that I give is one that has the potent power to keep the drinker from never thirsting again. Matter of fact, it will build in him a well of living waters." What was not this the one who said, or of whom Isaiah said in Isaiah 44 in verse number 3, "I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on dry grounds"? Was this not of him of whom Jeremiah spoke in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 13, that he is the fountain of living waters? Is this not David's still and calm waters that he sings of in the 24th division of the Psalms. Is not this Ezekiel's knee-deep water? How then, Sister Latsa, can he say, I thirst? My brothers and sisters, it is almost embarrassing and shameful to hear these words come from the mouth of the one who spoke to the raging sea. And it was calm as a pacified baby. And here, John, the beloved disciple, records the agony of our Lord saying, I thirst. Embarrassing, shameful, if you will, to think that this man who was living water was now lamenting the pain and agony of his own thirst. Is this why John is the only apostle who had the strength to record this statement of our Lord's passion? Matthew, Mark, and Luke does not have this recording in their redaction of our Lord's suffering. Is it because they were ashamed, embarrassed? How can he, who is the living water, say, I thirst? Well, maybe there are a few things that we can share or use to mitigate this seemingly embarrassing statement. We're told that water makes up 60% or 3/4 of the human body weight. Matter of fact, those who study the human anatomy and science and biology tells us that water is used for all of the body processes. Water is used to carry nutrients, including oxygen, throughout the body. That water is necessary to remove toxins and waste from the body. It is said that thirst is an alarm from the body's central information system that the body needs fluid. Some of the causes of thirst I discovered in my research is salted food or dry, dusty air that depletes the moisture from the mucous membranes of the mouth and the throat. And because of where our Lord was hanging on this tree under this Palestinian heat, it is possible that he needed some water to refill the depletion of moisture. It is said that thirst is also caused, for those doctors and nurses that are in here, by the intoxication of sodium in the bloodstream and the depletion of potassium from the body cells. That is induced by stress and sleeplessness. And this is possible because we are told that our Lord was taken from judgment hall to judgment hall throughout the night without the possibility of sleep. But the question is, was he really thirsty? We are told that thirst is an alarm. It's a symptom. It's the body saying, I need fluid. But watch this. All through our Lord's agony and pain, they offered him fluid. And he refused to drink it. So I want to suggest, Elder Landry, today that it was not a thirst thing. No wonder John records, John knowing our Lord and being with him and being the beloved disciple on the side of our Lord, John records that when Jesus knew, oh bless his name, that everything had been completed so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He cried, I thirst. John, what is it that Jesus knew that had been completed? John says all of the prophecies that were spoken of our Lord, that he would be the promised Messiah, had been fulfilled, my brothers and sisters. And when all of it had been fulfilled and completed, Jesus said, I thirst. Let's look at some of these prophecies. We'll begin in the book of beginnings. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 says, he will be the seed of a woman. Bless your heart. Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 and 5 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that prophecy had been completed. Genesis chapter 13, chapter 12, excuse me, and verse number 3 said, he would be the seed of Abraham. Bless your heart, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 1 that Yeshua was the son of Abraham. That prophecy had been completed. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 14, Elder Wilson, that he will be born of a virgin. And the scripture says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31 through 35, that Jesus, oh bless his name, was born of a virgin. That scripture was fulfilled. That prophecy was fulfilled. Micah chapter 4 and verse number 2 says he will be born in Bethlehem. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know that if you read Luke chapter 2 and verse number 4, you will find that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That prophecy was fulfilled. Hosea chapter 11 and verse number 1 said he will flee to Egypt. Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 15 that Joseph got up that morning and took Mary and the baby and they fled to Egypt for fear of Herod. Somebody shout, that prophecy was fulfilled. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 78 and verse number 2 that he will come speaking in parables. Bless your heart. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 34 say he never said anything unless he spoke it in the parable. That prophecy was fulfilled. Our brothers and sisters, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 3 says that his own will reject him. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 11, he came to his own, but his own receive him not. And finally, the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 7, that as a lamb before the slaughter is dumb, he will never speak a word. Mark chapter 15 and verse number 5 tells us that when he stood before Pilate, accused of all of the lies that they made against him, Pilate was shocked because my Jesus and your Jesus did not say a mumbling word. All of the 9 prophecies that were spoken by the prophets of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had been fulfilled. That's why John is not ashamed to record this event. John says, when Jesus knew, oh bless his name, that all things had been completed, he said, I thirst. Oh yes, he needed to complete one more prophecy. The prophecy in Psalms 22 and verse number 15 and Psalms 69 and verse number 21 that says, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue has cleaved to the back of my mouth. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. Oh, my brothers and sisters, if Jesus is the Messiah, if Jesus is the Savior, if Jesus is the Son of the living God, that prophecy had to be fulfilled because that prophecy was the preamble of one of the greatest prophecies, a prophecy found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. It says that the serpent will bruise his heel, but he will bruise the head of the serpent. And here we have our Lord standing or hanging on this cruel cross, depleted in pain, now being bruised, his heel being bruised by the serpent. But bless your heart, the serpent's head is being bruised and crushed eternally, that he has no more power on the sons and daughters of God. And Jesus wanted to make an announcement to the world that he had bruised the head of the serpent. He could not do this in anonymity. He had to declare to the universe and to the pit of hell that earth has no sorrow. Oh, bless his name. That heaven cannot heal. And who else could make this proclamation than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself? And so I believe that our Lord was not thirsty. No, he was not depleted of water. No, he was not fatigued, but he needed to clear his throat so that he could make this announcement that would pierce the very gates of hell. And so hanging on the cross, Elder Prochet, he said, I thirst. He said, I need a little liquid to moisturize my vocal cords, to give me the power of voice. And they took that sponge and place it in that vinegar. And when they put it in his mouth, our Lord threw his neck back. And with all of the strength that heaven can muster, he used three Greek words, tetelestai, it is finished. Oh, I'm so glad today that it is finished. I'm so glad that hell has no more authority on me. It is finished. Jesus was saying to the world, he was saying to hell, he was saying to the universe, it is finished. I have freed mankind from the bondage of sin and hell. You don't have to be afraid of dying the second death, because I have conquered death. I have the keys to hell, death, and the grave. It is finished. My Lord was like this running back on the universal gridiron, receiving the ball at the end zone in the last 30 seconds and charging toward the end zone for a touchdown. And when he got that touchdown, no, he didn't do the birdie, but he put his neck back and lifted his voice and said, it is finished. Death has been conquered. Hell has been destroyed. Sin has been obliterated. The enemy has been annihilated. Man has been liberated. God has been glorified. And man can sing forevermore because Jesus has done it, and he did it for you and did it for me. Is there two people in here who's not ashamed and happy to shout this afternoon, it is finished? Somebody shout, yes. As we come to this table, as we commemorate and celebrate what our Lord did for us, my brothers and sisters, we can come excited. We can come with our heads lifted, our chest puffed up. We can come walking like princesses and princes of the King, because we are now sons and daughters of God again, because of what Jesus did. Now are we the sons and daughters of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Somebody shout, it is finished. And it was not a thirst thing. Our God has delivered us. Our God is interceding for us. And our God is coming again. And when he comes, he will take us from this sin-sick and saturated earth to a place where there will be no more death, no more pain, no more suffering, no more crying, no more worries. Every day will be a day of joy. And the Bible says from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, we will come before our God and worship him through the eternal ages of eternity. And I just want to ask somebody a question this morning. Won't he do it? Won't he come back? Won't he take us with him? Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It was not a thirst thing.